Blog Talk Radio.
What's up to this edition of Hustle and Flows? This is your host, Marcus the Game Changer. I'm here with Sekou Bermis, and we are getting ready to get into this. We got a nice show planned for you all. We're all trying to survive this whole quarantine, stay-at-home deal. It's getting kind of hectic in the streets. people getting stir-crazy. I mean, up here in Wisconsin,
people
we've
getting crazy.
Not crazy just yet. We got some folks. I mean, I live in the capital, the state capital, so we got some folks coming down here to protest the governor's decision tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
That was us. That was Tuesday, Monday, when we had it here at the Capitol down here. So, you'll see. It's wild.
You know, we were just rapping about homeschool, the homeschool process. You know, for me, it's going all right. You know, once the kids are done with work, their schoolwork, they usually get done by 11:30. They're usually wrapping it up. They eat a little lunch. And then, you know, Coach Flowers kick in. We go get the drills. We get some drill work in the driveway. Let's go burn off some calories.
You got the ladder on the ground. We doing the shuffle drill.
Oh, yeah. Ankle weights on. Whole nine. How's it going for you, man? How's the homeschooling situation going for you, man?
It is an everyday struggle. I teach on Mondays and Wednesdays. So on those days, my wife pretty much does all of the schooling. And then Tuesdays, Thursdays, it's all me pretty much. And then Fridays, it's a pick 'em. And both of them are, like, you know, they need way more guidance. They're trying. Mm-hmm. They have meltdowns. And the six-year-old is just like, how long until I can watch My Little Pony? Like, what? Give me an approximate time that I need to pretend like I care what's happening here so I can watch My Little Pony. And so that's just an everyday fight. I'm just like, yeah, all right, another month. Let's do it.
Yeah, this whole situation definitely has a Groundhog Day type feel to it, man. The Groundhog Day vibes are strong with this whole stay-in-the-house situation, man. Because I can imagine every day, like, we did this yesterday. Why have we not made any progress with us understanding this arrangement?
Yep. But I think we're going to be all right. This is one of those times I was just talking to my wife before earlier today. I was like, man, thank God we got two kids. Because if we had one and they were looking at us like, all right, you are my, I would have been like, yeah, I'm done. You know, so now at least we can put them together and they're close enough in age that they'll go ride bikes outside and kind of give us at least 30 minutes out of my face. And so we're surviving. So I know a lot of people that have it way worse. So I don't complain. But, man, it is I think I'm running about 50% on everything. 50% of work, 50% of the parent I used to be, 50% of the spouse I used to be. Everything's about 50%.
We're all. Like I said, this new normal. Ooh. How much longer? I'm looking at my watch. How much longer we got on this?
And when I think that way is when I really get depressed, because now I'm like, all the summer camps pretty much have been canceled. So I'm like, I would say like, oh, once school is out, man, we'll be good. But then I was like, no, that's, I don't even know what we're gonna do. So I just like, let's not even talk about it. Every time I'm
I wouldn't.
I'm like, nope. Wait till May. May, we'll talk about it in May.
Because even when we get back to something, it ain't going to be what it was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, when it get different, it's going to be a different version of different. We ain't going to be in the house, but we ain't going to be out the house quite like
correct.
It was.
Correct.
So, it'll be interesting to see how everything progresses. But in these times that we're in this current context, in this current situation, people evolve, man. People figure out ways to entertain themselves. And one thing that is keeping us entertained are the versus battles put on by Timbaland and Swiss Beats, providing lots of entertainment. we going to get into the recent one. We're going to take you back a couple battles and get into the RZA versus Primo. This was like the hip-hop this was like they're gonna throw a bone to like the true hip hop heads with this one. And this was a battle where I was like, these are two legit heavyweights, man. Like legit. Like, this wasn't one dude is a little bit more established than the other dude. No, these are two guys who their track records are they're legends.
It's pretty incredible. Once I started thinking, because you know there was a lot like when I saw the thing come down, it was like Premier versus RZA. I was like, hey, off the bat, I was like, I'm in. I don't care what it is, I'm in. And then I was like, who is going to win this thing? And I started really, you know, trying to go down the catalog. And I was like, all right, I know the main ones, but like 20 tracks, that's. And they're both, like you said, just. So we should start off there because we're going to break it down. But the first thing to start off with is just they're both legends. Both of them have done in their respective fields what all of us only dream of doing, right? Like they're both like at that level. But I kind of came in thinking, this might be a bit of a mismatch, like not a route, but I think this might be a mismatch, and it became a real battle, and that kind of surprised me. And so, you know, we can go through the scoring, but I thought Primo would pretty much like have this in hand, and for a number of reasons, it did not quite go down like that.
Interesting. Yeah. I would say my initial prognostication and, like, predictions, I had RZA taking it. I felt like, I think RZA and the Wu brand, I just felt like he was going to be able to pull out a lot of stuff that folks were just going to be like, yeah, that's my joint. Or, yeah, nah, I can't touch that. You know what I mean? I just thought, and I don't know, I'm a big-time Wu-Tang fan and probably more of a Wu-Tang fan than necessarily a Gangstar fan or just like a general Primo kind of fan because, you know, you got the MOPs and all the other things that he has done and the collabos that he has done. And RZA, maybe that's why you maybe felt that way because RZA doesn't really have those, like, big-time star power collabos that, like, you know, there was a run from, like, 94 to, like, 99 where – you were like, okay, Primo got a joint on an album. I just want to hear the Primo joint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Primo produced a track. One. I just want to hear Primo. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if you're a rapper, and you're like, my album's coming out. You're like, so where's the Primo track? Oh, I ain't got one. Well, yeah, you should probably wait for that Primo track to come through before you drop your album.
Right. Yeah. So, let's dig into it. We got the list up.
I got my scorecard. I felt like I was a boxing judge here as it was going down.
It definitely had that feel to it, man. It definitely had that vibe and feel to it where I was like, man, I should. When it was going on, I was like, man, I need to keep track. So I definitely started jotting down, okay, yeah, round one, ooh, round two, round three, you know.
Yeah.
So let's go round one.
Okay.
Round one. And the whole battle itself, and the whole versus platform itself, lends itself to a little bit of comedy because you kind of have, even though these are brilliant musical minds, and they have done amazing things with sound in general, this whole IG Live thing baffles the hell out of them in a way that I just don't
understand. It makes you realize how old they are. That's
what it does.
Like, oh, yeah, these are two grown men that are like, so what, just through the phone? Do I just play loud on the phone? Like, what's happening? And if you're not regularly on IG, and you could tell Primo was like, I do this. I have a show, a regular, you know, I have a sound engineer that's here that knows how to do this. But, yeah, left to their own devices, the cats were struggling. And so, yeah, RZA started off just a mess. I thought this might not happen. Like, there was 200,000, no, it was 500,000 people on there. It was like.
Yes. It was a gang of folks in there, man.
And he couldn't hear. He was 10 seconds behind. And I was like, you are literally a producer of sound. I don't understand how this is baffling you. But eventually he got it figured out.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, man, they ain't got like an engineer or somebody on the team in the back to be like, hey, I got this. Like, dude, you are two of the most legendary music producers ever, and y'all can't figure out how to get. So that, and it continues. It continues to happen, and we'll get into that in a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah. We can end with that one. That's still ongoing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So round one, we have RZA. He drops Jizza's Liquid Swords, which was a interesting kind of like first joint for him. It probably wouldn't have been my first choice because I think if I'm RZA and I'm thinking it's a competition, I'm thinking Primo's going to hit me with something like big.
Yeah.
And so I got to come with something.
He's coming out the box. He's coming out the box.
Yeah, and Liquid Swords is a great song and a great beat, but I don't know if, like, I'm thinking if Primo hit me with something major, I don't know if this is the joint I want to answer with necessarily, right?
Yeah.
And so that was my, when he played that, I was like, that's a cold song. I don't know. I felt like Primo was going to punch him in the throat after he played that one.
And I think he did punch him in the throat.
Was
a million and one questions. Yeah, he was like, "Oh, that's what you're starting with. Okay, well, Jigga, straight off the bat, and
exactly.
Just one of those tracks that everybody knows. It comes on now in the club, and folks are just like, "Hold on, we gotta stop dancing," and I just have to just nod my head to this for the
know,
2 minutes that it's on. It was crazy. I was just like, "Uh-oh."
yeah, the Aaliyah sample, all of that, man. It's just. It was that's a and so yeah when that one hit I was like Liquid Swords again get and you know the intro all that kind of set it up you know
mm-hmm.
the whole vibe of the song but then when he dropped a million and one I was like yeah Primo was like I'm gonna go ahead and take this round from you player
exactly
I'll just
if
go ahead and take
it
this
to
round
me, yeah if you're just
yeah.
offering rounds I'm just gonna take that thank you
yeah
like
so how did you
so
score that one
so that
yeah.
one was
so I'm assuming you
premier.
Scored that one Primo. Yeah,
Primo.
I gave that one to Primo, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So then we transition to round two. And again, this RZA coming with this song, I thought would have been a great opener because
yep.
this the song that he used in round two had that kind of commercial appeal, and it was an artist who also has that, like, cachet, which was Method Man's Bring the Pain. And then Primo dropped M.O.P.'s Breaking the Rules. What were your thoughts on this round?
Yeah, this I was puzzled by what Premier was doing here. I was like, all right, so Bring the Pain comes out. That's the truth. That's a banger. And hold on, my daughter is coming in to hug me. All right, good night. Working from home. There you go. And then the MOP, I was like, no. It again, great song. All these songs are great, but it's not even close. You know what I mean? Like, Bring the Pain. I remember when this came out, it was like people who weren't even really hip-hop fans were like, have you heard this song? This song is incredible. And so this is all RZA. It was like one-on-one. And I had a couple of thoughts right here. One is, this after going through this whole thing, it reminded me just how amazing Method Man was.
Yeah.
Like, just how he was literally just head and shoulders above everybody else, not only within the Woo, but he just, anytime he's on a track, you're just like, oh, this guy was at a different level off of that. And so this was an example of like him, and this is, you know, the single off of his first solo album, and it, you know, it had a sky high expectations, and he just matched it. It was like LeBron's rookie year. It was like, oh, I mean, people expect him to be a god, and then this dropped, and you're like, oh. He might actually be. So, yeah, I gave this one to RZA, so it was 1-1.
For sure. Meth is he's kind of a slept-on king in that way, where he was a monster, lyrically, stylistically, flow-wise, just all of the things that you wanted in an MC, he commanded it all. He had it in spades.
Yeah.
So, I gave that one to RZA, too. So I got him 1-1 at this point. And then RZA – so round three is – and this is where I think – where I see this in – so after these first three rounds, I'm kind of like, okay, you know, like I used to dabble in making beats and doing stuff back in my younger days. And it's one of those things where you as the producer fall in love with something that you've created maybe way more than other people did. Where it's like, yo, I did this and I flipped this and the way I flipped it and right the way I I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when he dropped Wu-Tang's Maria, it's just like, bruh, like you might like that way more than everybody else.
Yeah, people were puzzled. This is where like all the RZA stands were like, did RZA plan? Like, is he just doing a shuffle and like whatever comes out, he's just playing? Like, is he ready? Because you could even see Premier. Premier was like, oh, okay, you playing that? Okay. I don't even know what to do now. Like, all right. And so he plays Mos Def's Mathematics, which is just another one of those just amazing classic Premier kind of beats. Dusty, the scratching, the sampling. Mos Def at his you know pinnacle. And you know, I was just like, oh, this. At this point, honestly, I felt like this might be a route. Like, this might be over. It looks like RZA maybe wasn't working out. He was like Tyson in the Buster Douglas battle and just hadn't really been in the gym the way he needed to be. And Premier was just going to run away with it. So I gave this one clear win to Premier.
Yeah, this one was a dust. That round was a dusting. I was like, yeah. Even I was like, I don't know what Premier could fart right now, and I'm going to give it to him. Because I just don't know what RZA is thinking.
Yeah.
That's literally what I wrote in my notes. I was like, Primo can play anything right now. So we get to round four. And we got RZA dropping Raekwon's Wu Gambino's off of Only Built for Cuban Links, which, again, why didn't you do this in round three?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You might be winning right now. Like, why didn't we do that before?
Yeah.
And then Primo drops Big L's The Enemy. And again, I wasn't as familiar with the Big L joint. I'm familiar with some of Big L's work, but not that particular joint. So I kind of like, again, I got more connection with the Wu Gambino, the old Only Built for Cuban Link. That whole album was an amazing album. And again, Raekwon was another, which is what makes the Wu so amazing, is that you had Ghost, you had Ray, you had Meth, you had ODB. I mean, you had so many GZA. I mean, just like top tier MCs in one group. It's like the 85 Celtics, where you got like five Hall of Famers.
Yep.
You know what I mean? On one team. You know what I mean? It's just
exactly.
Wild. So that one for me, I gave that round to RZA. What was your perspective on that one?
Yeah, it was the same. I know the Big L cut, and this is maybe how you might think about Liquid Swords for GZA. Like, this is a good song. If you're from New York, this was like one of Big L's well-known hits, and like obviously the Premier collabo was big. But this wasn't a song I would have put in this, and so I think he. Maybe this is another one of them where he felt an emotional attachment to it, you know, because Big L didn't work with a lot of folks, and this was one of his well-known things, so maybe he put that on there. But this was Raekwon. And, you know, the Only Built for Cuban Links, this is a trend you'll see because he goes back to it a few times, and he should. It's like, you know, I don't know, KD going to the elbow. It's like, I know it's repetitive,
right,
but if it's going to work, I'm going to keep going, and I can't be mad at him. So, yeah, this was RZA won that round. And I think that's more for – I thought Premier just swung and a miss on that one. I don't think he should have put that one on. He had other ones that I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a bit of the early rounds was Premier kind of showcasing, like, who he worked with.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he goes J, he goes M.O.P., he goes Most, and he goes Big L. And then in round five, we get to round five, and Ghostface run by RZA, which, again, is just one of those – it's a banger. I mean,
yep.
It's a banger. It's got energy. Jadakiss's verse is sick. Ghost is doing his thing. But this was a tight round, though, because Primo came back with KRS. MCs act like they don't know, and that beat is the quintessential hip hop beat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that is like that dun dun. When that comes on, everybody knows. Hey, hey. You know, so this one was close, way closer than I think most people probably give it credit for.
Yep.
I gave it to Primo for the KRS-One joint. I don't know about where you stood on this one.
Oh, no. MCs Act Like They Don't Know is on my, like, top hip-hop songs of all time list. Like, just in that, again, it's two masters of the craft. In their time, right, like, it was late. You know, KRS was kind of... not over the hill, but he was kind of no longer the big guy, but he still had one last run in him. And that album that he dropped was that. And this was the song that just announced, I'm your senior, but I'm still here. And I can still put out some legit music that can stand the test of time. So I thought this was, for me, a no brainer. And I love Run, but that was that's a good try. I like that one. That's cool. But that's like a deep cut. Most people want to be like, hey, what's Ghostface top five songs? Run is not going to be on there. And so I thought this was KRS.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So I gave that round to Preem. So we had five rounds.
Yep.
And we got it, what, 3-2?
3-2, Primo.
Primo's up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at this point, you know, if you're trying to like, okay, so what are the trends so far? You got Primo kind of jumping on. You haven't had a Gangstar joint yet from Primo. You know, you got, as far as the Wu stuff, you haven't got anything off of...
Into the 36 Chambers, yeah. Off the...
So you feel like... So at this point, you got to feel like, okay, so they both got some heat still, like, in the chamber, ready to unleash.
Yep.
So now you're starting to get excited, like, okay, this is going to tighten up.
Exactly.
And sure enough, round six, RZA comes in with Wu-Tang's Shame on the Nuh, and war. Yeah. I mean, it got hype right there for me. It definitely got hype right there for me with the ODB vibe coming in, and it was just big. And Primo answered with Daz FX, Real Hip Hop. How'd you count that one? Or what was your perspective on that one?
So I'm with you on this. The shame on them is, that's one of my favorite. And actually, that might be my favorite Meth verse. I think if I remember this correctly, I think I was kind of listening, and I had gotten a copy of Method Man, you know, the single, because it was on a B-side of a single, and so I'd heard that one a while back. And then when the album came out, I heard Shame on Him, and I had kind of known, like, oh, he's good, but then to hear him on this one, I was just like, yo, who is this guy? I've never heard anybody rap like this. This is incredible. So this for me, and then Dos FX, I love Dos FX. I think this is a good song, but it's not on the caliber of Shame on Us. So this is RZA. And this is actually when I started to get a little nervous. Like, is Premier trying to do a rope-a-dope? In which case, you know, he's going to, you know, I feel comfortable. I feel like I got like 6 or 7 bangers I can run at the end. And so he starts kind of playing again songs that are classic Primo. But I was like, you got to realize RZA has a couple in the bag too, you know? And so then I started thinking about strategy. I was still hopeful. I was like, I think Premier is just playing possum. But when he I feel like this was a give up, and it made me a little nervous. So
yeah,
because
that's where, again, you got to kind of start to take inventory and be like, okay, I mean, RZA, again, this is the first song off End of the 36, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just like, okay, he still got that whole album. He could pull out. He kind of still has that whole album that he could throw at me, so I got to stay on my toes. I can't just be giving up rounds. If I'm Primo, that's my thought process.
Yeah.
And then, again, RZA starts to kind of get into his groove. He starts to get a little lathered up, so he's like, I'm going to go ahead and hit you with Protect Your Neck.
Yep.
So, you know, he's sending a message right now. Like, looks like you got to protect your neck. I'm coming for you.
This is the second quarter. Yeah. So this is like the start of the second quarter. He was like, my second quarter squad is about to just run this score up. We're about to get a nice little 10-point advantage just on this because I don't think you're ready. And I think he caught Premier kind of flat-footed.
Yes, he did, because then Premier answers with Group Homes Living Proof, which, again, is another great Primo joint. And it's another one of those deep cuts that a lot of heads really dig, but when you're talking about that versus Protect Your Neck,
yeah,
I had to go with RZA on that one.
So I did the same. I gave that one to RZA. And so I think this is also another theme, right? The thing that I think that makes it so interesting with these two guys is how different they are. So aside from the fact that, you know, Premier pretty much spanned three or four different generations, but, like, Premier is about as – I mean, he's a trendsetter. I mean, he pretty much said, like, this is how hip-hop should sound. And people just, in essence, have been copying Premier's techniques. You know, he shaped a whole era of just people sounding like him, whereas you have RZA who, like, was like, no one will ever sound like me. Like, my goal is that no one could ever repeat a beat that I did, so people don't even try. Like, there's nobody that's trying to sound like RZA. It's impossible. And so to have someone like Premier, and what he would do is he would work with anybody, right? And he would be like, I'll work with anybody. So, like, Group Home, I listened to the Group Home album, and I was like, these beats should not have been given to Group Home. These beats should have been given to... you know, Redman, or, you know, like somebody that's going to rise to the occasion. So this is where, and, you know, again, I probably had way too much emotion. I was also drinking while I was listening to this. I was like, I think Premier's might end up losing this just because he works with everybody. And the beats are great, but the songs aren't great. Right? If you take that Living Proof beat and give it at that time to Nas, or, you know, like, it's going to be a completely different thing. And that's what RZA has, is like every song he's like, well, the beat's cool, but guess what? Raekwon and Ghost are on that. So
and
guess
they
what? That song is
and they're wilding.
And it's just crazy. And so that song is going to end up being better. And so that was a case with this where I was like, man, Living Proof is great, but that song isn't great. Because you're comparing Group Home to Wu-Tang. Like, then that's not going to win. So I gave that one to RZA also. So now we're 4-3 after 7.
Yep. Yeah, so then we go to round 8, and RZA comes in with Jizza's Cove World, which, again, is one of my favorite songs off of Liquid Swords. I really enjoyed the whole vibe of that song and the kind of the off, out-of-tune singing that was going on in the, you know, in the hook.
Again, RZA, all RZA. No one else is trying to do that.
And I think Primo at this point realizes, I got to get around it because I'm getting my butt kicked.
Yes.
So Primo's like, I got a banger on deck. He drops D'Angelo's Devil Pie, the remix.
Yeah.
Sick beat. And again, your analysis is on point. This is one of Primo's beats that is a great song, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He, big artist. Great song, well known. And so Primo had to punch him back real quick because it was getting ugly. was getting ugly. So I give that one to Primo.
Same. Devil's Pie, also the connection to Belly, right? So then you realize, like, oh, yeah, Primo was there when they were like, oh, we're going to make a hip-hop movie and Hype Williams is going to direct it. And, you know, that soundtrack, which was crazy, and D'Angelo being who he was. Yeah, that's that. That one, and it was an R&B song, which that was when I was like, see, this is why Primo should be running away with this, is that he's like, I'm not even going to play a rap song. Like, this is an R&B song, and it's going to beat a rap song you got, because that's how hip-hop I am. And I was like, okay, all right, maybe we're in. And that's when I started getting excited. Like, okay, it's on now. It's on.
Yeah. And so we're sitting 4-4 right now, correct?
Yep, correct.
So we're 4-4 going into round 9. Round 9, Primo says, okay. I'm sorry, RZA's like, okay, you on my heels. I'm going to hit you with Method Man. And again, this is one of those that's just when those piano riffs hit at the beginning, at burn burn, it just, listen, man, it just starts to get going, and that METHOD, man, and Meth going crazy on the song and flipping out, and Primo answers with Gang Starz just to get a rep, which is a good song, really good song, but I went with RZA on this round.
Yeah. So yeah, this was definitely RZA now back, right? So man, he had the sound issues at the beginning. He kind of seemed out of it, and at this point is when he was actually hearing the music at the same time what was happening. So his reaction was back on, and you could tell he was locked in. And so I was the same way. My guess is Premier kind of was like, again, this is like spades, right? You're like, all right, he just threw out the little joke. Am I going to throw out the big joke, or am I going to save that for something else, right? And so
I think
he kind of said, I'm going to go back in my bag. I'm going to lean on the nostalgia, Gangstar, right? Because this is the first Gangstar track that he plays. And it's a song that we all know, but we also know that's not the Gangstar song. So I feel like this was almost like a bit of a, you threw a haymaker, you landed, you know what, I'm just going to try to get out of this round.
right. We get out of this with standing up.
Yeah, let me just put something in there. And that softened the blow because you got the Gangstar piece, and people's like, oh, man, Gangstar, yeah, rest in peace, Gangstar, which removes a bit of the sting of, like, you just got aced in this round. So I gave this round a RZA, too.
Yeah. Yes. And, again, as you said, it seemed like RZA's getting in his groove. He's feeling it. He's vibing. He's kind of catching, like, the whole ethos of the whole situation. And then he threw me for a loop in round 10.
As RZA is known to do.
So then he drops Ghostface Killah's Motherless Child. And I'm kind of like, yes, this is a great song, but I don't know if this is the right venue. Like, you heard a
misstep.
Battle.
He dropped his left hand. He left the jaw open.
And Primo hit him. Primo socked
him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He left the door open and Primo socked him good, dropping Jay-Z's The Evils. Which, again, when you talk about, like, that textbook Primo, this is how hip-hop should sound, The Evils is one of those songs where you got Vintage Jay dropping crazy lyrics, dropping crazy knowledge off of one of Jay's best albums. And you got just a sinister Primo beat that he's rocking over. This is one where, like, okay, this is where Primo has the better song.
Yeah. Yeah, and it required, the funny part is it a lot of this required the other guy kind of leaving an opening, right? And so when he put Motherless Child up there, I was like, again, I was trying to read Premier, man, I was on this thing like it was an NBA finals game. I was like, all right, how is he going to respond? And I'm looking at his face while the other song is playing, and you can see, all right, what am I going to go with next? And I was like, he's like, all right, I don't think I need to go way deep in my bag. I think I can go, like, halfway, just get my elbow in and pull something out, and then I can win this round. And The Evils was perfect, right, because it's hard. It's Vintage Jay, like all you said, and but it's not like the 3 or 4. Like, there were, as soon as this thing started, I was like, all right, there's 4 songs that Primo is going to play that almost guarantee him at least a tie. And this wasn't one of those, so this was like a win. And this is where I started to think, like, I think Primo's rope-a-dope strategy might be coming to fruition. Like, he might have been playing possum, and now Riz is kind of like, oh, man, now I'm going to get into, like, I'm going to play a Master Killer song. You know, like, he's going to start to get real
RZA-ish.
RZA-ish, and then Primo can just kind of run the race. So bringing Jay-Z back at The Evils, Reasonable Doubt, yeah, so that was, for me, clearly Premier. So we're back tied. Yep.
Yeah. So then we get this weird dynamic in round 11. So right now we're 5-5 going into round 11.
Yep.
We're 5-5. RZA,
by the way, they lost track of the rounds. So all of our armchair quarterbacking, they were like, what number are we at? And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
y'all don't know what number y'all at? We out here
scoring. Yeah,
what
they wound up going,
like,
28?
No, they just, at least they knew, they figured out what 20 was. I was like, we out here like this is, Holyfield Tyson, and y'all out here like, is this 8 or 9? I'm like, oh, man, y'all don't even keep a score. That's what I do. Like,
right.
Y'all just having fun. This is all us,
right,
as
they
fans
out there playing
making this stuff up.
Ain't nobody got count.
Exactly.
You know, you play a game of 21, and who got high? And everybody looking around like, I had like 15.
I think I got 15. You got 11. You got 8.
Yeah, I think I got.
Y'all
I got like 15.
Track, then go.
Exactly. Yeah. So we get to 11, round 11, and we got RZA dropping Raekwon's Verbal Intercourse, featuring Nas. Again, one of those classic Ray joints. Classic era Wu, only built for Cuban Links, just a dope song. And this is where I think the last round, playing Motherless Child, and again, when Primo dropped the Evils, I think he kind of stunned RZA for a second, and RZA was like, I got to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And Primo was like, you can come back, but I got another one in the deck for you. So Primo drops Nas is Like, which is one of those songs that if you said, give me 10 songs that you know are going to be played in this battle, Nas is Like would have been one of the 10 songs that I would have written down. Going to get played in this battle. And he drops it around 11. And I got to go with Primo on this one.
Yeah. And this is when I started to really be like, yo, Primo is kind of just having fun. Because, you know, and they're talking back and forth. We haven't talked about this. That was probably the best part of it, honestly, was them kind of giving the background, backstory on this track and that track, and I've worked with this person and that person, and I was only this year. And, you know, Premier is just so gracious, and RZA, you could tell there's real love between them and history. And so, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I got something here with Nas, and the Nas verse on Verbal Intercourse is crazy. And Premier's like, yeah, no, that's dope. I got a Nas one, too. And so when he did that, I was like, yo, I wonder if he's really, again, all the way in his bag. And he wasn't all the way in his bag. He was halfway in his bag, right? The Nas is like, because it's like he got Nas joints. But this one was like a relatively, it was good enough that I think it wins the round, but it was not one of the five jewels that, like, you know, just can't be beat. You know what I'm saying? And so that Nas is Like track is just gorgeous. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, this song is beautiful. I just, there's no other way for me to say it. Like, this song is, and it was buried at the back of that album that I was not all that crazy about. And I remember, like, listening to it, I'm like, man, this is not a great album. And in this song, I think I remember it was like number 12 or 14. It was like way at the end. So I'm like listening to it. And then this song, I'm like, why is this one buried at the end? This one should have been like before Hate Me Now or something. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
So, yeah, this was Primo.
Nas got a little, he got a little lost in kind of like the craft of putting the album together. He got a little, I think he got a little caught in trying to like always, like, the ghost of Illmatic just haunted that brother for a while. I feel like when your first album is that dope, what do you do next? And I feel like that was always a challenge for Nas. With those albums that immediately preceded Illmatic, I just felt like he was just trying to find his footing in the shadow of Illmatic, and I think he just struggled with that. I wouldn't say he struggled because they were still good albums and very good albums. But again, it just felt like he was trying to outdo Illmatic, and you can't.
Yeah. You got to evolve. You got to make it something new.
Yeah.
All right. So what's that? That's 6-5?
Yep, that's 6-5. Primo's up. And then we go Ghostface Killer round 12. RZA jumps in. Ghostface Killer buck 50. And then Primo hits him with Gang Starz. The Question Remains.
Yes. Yes.
I gave this one to Primo because this is one of those Gang Starz joints that when you talk about Gang Starz songs, this is up there for me. Well, buck 50 is a good Ghostface song, but I gave this one to Primo.
Likewise, I gave this one to Primo, and I love Buck 50. As a beat, it's crazy. And again, Meth is on this one just, I was just like, yo, Meth is incredible. Like, you know, and this was on his stuff. Anytime he was on featured on something, no matter how crazy the beat, and maybe it's because RZA just be thinking of some outrageous beats. And Ghostface is kind of crazy, but he's also just not making sense half the time. But Meth would be like, it's going to be smooth, it's going to make sense, and it's going to match with a crazy-ass RZA beat. And that was Copernicus. All right, but yeah, I gave this one to Gangstar. Question Remains, a classic. So now, at this point, I'm like, this might be over. This might be over. Like,
Primo's picking up steam.
Might be over. So, yeah. All right. So, we're at the end of 12, and we are at 7-5.
13. Yeah, 7-5. And Primo's won, what, the last three rounds? Because it was 4-3, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Primo's coming in strong right now. And RZA is trying to stop the bleeding. So, he digs in. And I think he pulled out one of his aces with Raekwon's ice cream. Try to stop the bleed. They're around 13. But he ain't know who he was messing with because then Primo dropped that Biggie Unbelievable.
Bruh.
Primo was like, I ain't let you come back.
No. And that's what I was like, oh, I think boots on the neck. Yeah. So ice cream, insane. Again, the beat that when you first time you hear it, you're just like, what am I listening to? And then you realize, like, oh, this is insane, but unbelievable. And that was, I was on like at least four group texts. I'm sure you were the same. And one of my boys, like at like the third round, he was like, yo, Primo play Unbelievable yet? And I was like, nah, I think he's waiting. I don't think that one is coming out until late rounds. And it was the perfect response. It was the perfect response.
Yes.
That's when I was like, oh, premiere. Yep. And so this one, as good as Ice Cream is, it's not better than Unbelievable. Unbelievable is, it's literally unbelievable, you know? And another thing that, you know, the Primo kind of continuum that just continues to boggle my mind is he's a sampler, right? So he samples these songs, and then he makes songs of samples that end up being sampled. Like, I remember somebody did, like, one of these deep dives into, like, the chain of samples. And, like, Premier is in, like, most of the longest chains where, like, he samples something, then it gets sampled again, then it gets sampled again. And so, like, all his songs are just immediately fodder for hooks in the future, right? And so that's just
– right.
And this was one of those examples of those where it was, like, he sampled R. Kelly to a song that – Biggie used that, and that song ended up getting chopped and sampled a ton. So, yeah, this was also Primo.
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, his fingerprints are all over hip hop's DNA for the last, you know, 25, 26 years, which is just, you know, crazy. It's just crazy when you really think about it. So I gave that round to Primo for sure. And at this point, it's starting to get thin for RZA. RZA has to, like, again, RZA just played. He just played the Queen of Spades.
Yes.
And Prem was like, I got the king. Right?
Right after you. And this was great because this is exactly his hand. He's like, I got these Trump cards. I'm holding them.
Yep.
And he yelled, and he played it perfectly. Yep.
Yep. And so then RZA was like, oh, so you got the king, but you ain't know I got the ace. And he brought out Brooklyn Zoo. He brought out ODB's Brooklyn Zoo. Primo tried to counter, and this was a great joint that Primo tried to counter with. It's one of my favorite Primo beats with J. Rude, the Damages Come Clean. But it ain't beating Brooklyn Zoo.
Nope. Nope. Exactly. Same. I was like, he played Brooklyn Zoo, and I was like, I mean, at best, I mean, that's just one of those songs that you know is going to win or at least pull a tie. And I think Primo realized that and was like, all right, I got something. And I think he played off like, oh, I also got something from Brooklyn and da-da-da-da. And, yeah, Come Clean is a song I'll always remember because it came out right around the time that me and a couple of my boys started getting into DJing. So we put our little coins together and got a couple turntables and a mixer, and that was one of the first records we bought. And so I remember just practicing scratching to that and, like, bringing that dusty beat in and working on how to bring it back in and back in. Yeah, and that song is it will always hold a place in my heart, but it ain't Brooklyn Zoo. It ain't Brooklyn Zoo. So, yeah,
right.
this is
yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So RZA takes that one. He's like, I'm falling behind. I got to get another round. So round 15, he goes back to the ODB bag and breaks out Shimmy Shimmy Ya. And I think Primo is like, I got to keep my foot on this cat's neck.
Yep.
So Primo is like, I got another biggie in the back. So I'm going to hit kicking the door. This one was the toughest round for me because both of these are like, and this is where it's getting good though. Like this is where it's like, okay, both of these cats are in their bag right now. Like they're pulling out.
They're just throwing haymakers. Yeah.
Yes.
We're mortals
both,
with a
hands
crumble
are down.
This.
Yes.
And
hands
just
are down and
them,
they're just swinging.
Uh-huh.
And so this one I call it a draw because, and I know it's a cop out, but I definitely call this one a draw because these are, whew. This one was, I was going back and forth. I even consulted my wife. I was like, okay. So RZA just played Shimmy Shimmy Y'all and Biggie just, I'm sorry, Premier just played Biggie's Kicking the Door. And she was like, oh yeah, I can't call it. I was like, yeah, I don't think I can either. I got that was a chat. So what was your perspective on that one?
So I went back and forth. I have one draw, but this wasn't the draw. This one I thought I gave the edge to Biggie Kicking the Door. I think it was, from a producer standpoint, they're both amazing. And I just think Kicking the Door kind of had a little bit more of a, I don't know. It just had, it just seems to hit a little harder than Shimmy Shimmy Ya. Now, if it had been Brooklyn Zoo, I think I would have had to have been like, either Brooklyn Zoo's winning or it's a draw. But this one, I felt like I'm giving it to Kicking the Door. But a draw, I understand. I'm not mad at that. I just felt like Kicking the Door was, that one was, and it's one that I always seem to forget that Premier did. Until I'm like, oh, yeah, he did Kicking the... Oh, yeah, that's right. That song is insane. And so I gave it to Primo.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't choose for that one. I was like, man, both of these are just... Because you're right, like, the Kicking the Door lyrically and just Biggie's whole ethos on that one was just vicious. Like, he was coming for cats on that one.
Yeah.
But then every time, man, when that dun, 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 that piano Shimmy Shimmy Ya hit, the whole party for the go wild. The whole party for the go wild.
You're right. Man, you're making me second guess myself here.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I understand why you told that. I'm just saying, like, that man, when that Shimmy Shimmy Ya, when those pianos, when them keys start pinging, man, everybody's finna lose it.
Yeah. Did you hear
and
that?
And everybody's
that
going to their best ODB
the...
impersonation.
Yeah, exactly. I knew the dance from the video. I knew everything, man. Because he was just a rock star at that point. Did you hear they had the discussion about the piano and the keys? And, you know, RZA was like hitting Primo up back when he was like still up and coming. And he was like, yo, I love the piano you played on this track, but I got some piano for you. And he was like, okay, sure. And then he sent me some joints, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, you got something here. And so those kind of conversations were great. But all right. Okay,
it was,
so you have a draw.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I was just gonna keep the score, but you finish your point.
Oh, I was just gonna say that, like, those conversations, just speaking to that, like, level of, like, respectful competition that they had. It was like, hey, I know you. What you just did, man, that was cold. That was, and not having to feel like I gotta hate on you because we're in competition. I can respect what you did, and that's gonna push me to one up you. You know, and if I got you, I'm gonna let you know I got you. But I'm not gonna hate on what you did. I'm still giving you respect and props for what you. It was great seeing older heads model that. You know what I mean? Because I think younger heads can take some notes on, like, when you're good at what you do, you can acknowledge other people also good.
Word.
Like, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be, I can only be the only person that exists in this space. Like, we can all. He can be dope. I can be dope, and we can still compete against each other. And we can still recognize each other's greatness and how dope each other is. I thought that was excellent to see in that platform and that environment when you got 500,000 people watching.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For the culture.
Yes. So what did you have for the score?
I had kick in the door. I'm gonna keep that one. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got 9-6, and you got 8-6-1.
Yeah. All so right now RZA's behind. And again, I think RZA's getting that he's behind because he's coming. He hasn't had really a weak joint. He's forced Primo to have to outdo him every round for like the last four rounds. So he comes. He says, "Okay, so you're gonna go Biggie. I'm gonna go Biggie, and I'm gonna go Long Kiss Goodnight." Primo responds with "Gangstars Above the Clouds." What's your perspective on this one?
I had legitimately forgotten about Long Kiss Goodnight. I didn't think that RZA was going to play it. And as soon as he was like, well, I got one that I was able to do, and he played it, and I was like, oh, yes. And this song is incredible. And Biggie on it is incredible. It was like someone else rapping to a RZA beat and just being as comfortable as some of his own artists. Whereas Above the Clouds, I personally love Above the Clouds. Beat-wise, I think it's got a lot going on in it. It's, you know, it's Primo just doing all types of Primo stuff all throughout it. It's got Inspect the Deck. It's got, but it's not Long Kiss. I mean, Long Kiss is, whew. I mean, it gives me shivers when I hear it with the violins. And again, like, I think about the first time I heard it, you know, I had, again, at that point, I was in college, and so I didn't have, like, the supreme hookup with, like, being able to get music, like, way ahead of time. So I had, like, heard one or two, but I didn't hear the album until we got it. And by the time you got the album, Biggie was gone, right? And so you're listening to this album. Biggie's already gone. He's a memory. And so this is the last, like, in my mind, this is, like, the last time I'm going to experience new Biggie material. And it's at the end of a double album. That's incredible. And he's got this song where he's just spitting, like, just crushing shots at Tupac. You're just like, yo, what is that? And it's just fueled by Wu-Tang. And I was like, what am I listening to? You know, and that song still to this day gives me shivers. So this was, for me, RZA kind of ran away with this one.
Yeah, and just the intensity of the track, from everything, from the production, the violins, the like haunting vote or the haunting hook of Biggie's, time for you to die, right?
Yeah.
And like even Puffy losing his mind.
Yeah, at the end,
it's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Just all of that, so I went with RZA on this one. And, again, I love the Above the Clouds. It is a gangsta joint that I really enjoy, and Dex Verse is great, but it's not Long Kiss Goodnight. Not at all. So I have a friend, before the battle, he posed the question on Facebook. He said, kick in the door, Long Kiss Goodnight. Pick. And I said, man, I'm not answering this question.
I'm punting on this. I tell you what, I might need to, like, just sit and listen to each 10 times right,
and right.
see. But off the top of my head, I couldn't call it. That would have been a hell of a back and forth. If they both played them joints, I'd have been like, all right.
Yes.
Next.
Same album, same artist. Woo! Yeah. So we're going round 17. That round goes to RZA. Round 17,
yep.
RZA drops Ghostface Assassination Day, and then Primo punches him in the balls.
Straight Molly. Oh, man. And this was the one I was waiting for. Yeah, and this was the one I was waiting for. I was like, we at the end. And so I knew this was going to be the one of the ones he pulled out his bag. And, yeah, this was as soon as the first track, I was like, oh, man. And I think at this point he's, like, scratching during the battle. He's, like, bringing them in, like, while he's scratching. Just, like, you could tell he's almost at a party at this point. And this song is, you know, this is high school, right? Yeah, I'm jumping all around with Primo. I'm like, I'm in college. Now I'm in high school. Now I'm in, you know.
Yeah.
And it's still the same experience where I'm like, what is this? Can you play that again? I need to hear that like 100 times in a row. What am I listening to? And it's hands down, that's just the Primo runaway. Like you said, he kicked him in the balls on that one.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I almost felt bad for RZA. Like, God.
And RZA knew it. He absolutely knew it. He was like, okay. that's what we're doing now?
That's what we're doing. We playing. Oh, the original now. Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So then we get to round 18. And again, right now, RZA's hanging on for dear life because Primo's getting him. So he drops Raekwon's Criminology versus Gangstar's DWYCK. And I personally go with RZA on this one. I know everybody, the Gangstar joint is a classic Gangstar joint, but I'm RZA on this round.
Yeah. No, I disagree. I was like, Criminology, he plays it. And I was like, well, the only other song that I think could beat this is if he plays DeWick. And as soon as he did that, I was like, no, this is in the, you know, like, think about it this way. In 30 years, if you go to a club, is anyone going to be playing Criminology?
No.
If someone plays the week, and that's just that's the classic. That's their, and that had the Gangstar that's bringing it all like in. That's like one of his best known. That's in on his Mount Rushmore tracks, and so that one I think he gets it. And it's that's the one of the few songs that I think could have beat Criminology.
I can give you that. I can give you that. I'm not going to argue that. I agree with your point. I agree with your point on that one. We're going to slide into round 19. So of the 20 rounds, right, we're at round 19. We got two rounds left. I have RZA, I think, down one. Two?
Two, and I have 11. I have 11-9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is it 11-8? It's 11-8.
Yeah, I think you got them 11-8, and I got it 10.
11-8. 10-8-1. Yep. So for you, there's still a chance of a draw.
Yes. RZA still has hope.
Okay.
So we get to round 19, and we got Raekwon's Incarcerated Scarfaces. RZA comes in with Incarcerated Scarfaces, which is a joint. And then Primo again. Primo's not playing with him.
Yeah.
He hits him again with Royce the 5'9", boom.
Yeah.
At this point, like, again, I think they lost track of rounds. And losing track of rounds, so ain't no Triumph.
No Triumph.
Cream.
That's what I'm saying.
RZA, what are you doing?
I was legit confused because I was like, all right, we're at 18. I was like, he's got at least three songs I should be hearing. And then he played, so Contra Scarface was one of them. I thought he was going to play that one, you know, actually when they did the Long Kiss, even though Long Kiss was great. I just thought he would bring it. Maybe this could have replaced Buck 50. This definitely could have replaced Maria.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean? So Contra Scarface is great. Royce da 5'9", that boom is also one of those just great hip-hop and, you know, becomes the beginnings of that relationship that
right.
ended up becoming, you know, two more
Prime,
albums and everything
yeah.
like that, Prime.
Yeah.
But as much as I like Boom, this Incarcerated Scarface is, for me, wins this one. In just the fact that that's Ray kind of at his most kind of young, ambitious, brolic, kind of all over the place, but kind of making sense somehow. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, that's the most lucid we get of, you know, the most lucid version of Raekwon, right? He's just, the stream of consciousness you can actually follow.
Yeah,
I gave this one to RZA as well. Boom is a joint. Royce, this is kind of like when Royce was kind of coming out of the gates as a young artist. And so for me, this was college. And this was very much like reminiscing and taking me back. But Incarcerated Scarfaces is a banger. But again, we getting around 20, and I'm like, what are we, RZA, man? What are we doing?
I can't believe
what are we doing?
It's a crime. It is a crime
Cream
that
Triumph,
he didn't play Cream.
Like you cannot
Triumph.
Yeah. Like what are you? And they even talked about Cream. They even talked about Cream when they were talking about the piano joints.
Yeah.
Like they
yeah.
like they talked about it.
Premier was
and
for
so
sure
like,
oh, I'm saving this for when Cream come out. I'm gonna hit him with this.
Yes,
and then he was probably like,
yes.
Where did Cream go? What happened?
Yeah, yeah. So we get to round 20 and RZA flexes his arm, kind of his R&B muscle a little bit, dropping the Method Man, All I'll Be There For You, the Mary J joint with Method and Mary J, which again is if you talking about who's playing what in the club in 30 years, that one's getting played. And then Premier counters with Biggie's 10 Crack Commandments, which that's a hard joint. That is a hard joint right there. That goes hard. So this one was tough, but I gave this one to Primo. How about you?
So this one I actually, this is the one that I gave a tie.
Okay.
And the reason I did that is, as great, I mean, 10 Crack Commandments, again, right, this idea of a song that was based on a sample that ended up being sampled, you know, and just, again, Biggie
right.
all in his bag, just doing incredible things. I'm trying to remember if I dreamed this or actually read, like, the making of this song. I think Premier made it, might have done it. And just, I was just like, how do you come up with this song? Like, did Biggie was like, hey, I want to do a countdown thing. Or did you just have a countdown
right.
beat? And you were just looking for someone to do some kind of countdown. I was like, one of you just is on mushrooms and just had this idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way that'll ever be a song until I meet a DJ that can put that together. So I made this one a tie just because the Meth and Mary is one of the best and most heralded collabs of all time. And it kind of
yep.
showed RZA's range, like you said, to be able to write, to be able to have that that track be an R&B track for real. So this one I did as a push.
Okay. Yeah, I went with 10 Crack Commandments just because, and again, this is both, like, again, this is like signature Meth. Like, when you talk about Meth, the superstar, this took him from, like, the hip-hop guy that everybody loved to, like, your little sister knows who he is. You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
But 10 Crack Commandments is like, again, one of Biggie's. It's not like Hypnotized, which I think is like a similar kind of a like, hey, your little sister knows that song. But it is like, when you talk about the Mount Rushmore of Biggie songs, I think mm-hmm. Ten Crack Commandments is on there. Just because of his persona, the knowledge that he's dropping on the song, the way he's dropping it, and it's a Primo track.
Yeah. It's all those things that came together.
Yeah.
Especially the first time you heard it, and you were like, oh, my God, we need like 10 more Biggie Primo collaborations. Like, this is it. This is all we're getting. Unbelievable. And then this, and that's all. Like, they're two for two, two walk-off grand slams. That's all we're getting. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think we both got Preem as the winner. RZA left two in the chamber for what reasons, I don't know. But he needed those two.
He did. I think, and I blame it on just him kind of just being, and it wouldn't be RZA if he wasn't just like, nah, F it, I'm going to play Maria. That's it? Like, yeah.
I love that beat.
Cats don't even really know. You know, that's what it took me, like, that's the first beat I made after the flood and the new, like, I'm sure there's some crazy story around it. And
exactly.
Then I saw a red dove landed in my window, and I was like, oh, I'm going to name this Maria. You know, I was like, but that's not it. So that's how it had to happen, because RZA is just not self-aware enough to really curate a list. He's RZA. The thing that makes him a genius is the thing that makes him so frustrating. with that, so
yeah,
Triumph and Triumph Ice Cream and Cream. No wait, he played Ice Cream. No wait, did he play Ice Cream?
He played Ice Cream.
No, he played Ice Cream. Triumph and Cream were the.
So now what I
gotta
figure out is what on Iron Man did he do? Because I was like, that's a like he didn't hardly get into a ton of the Iron Man stuff, and I felt like I had to go back and look at, like, what actually did RZA do on Iron Man, because, like, there's some joints on there that I felt like he could have pulled out if they were produced by him.
Yeah, I thought Winter Wars might have been on there.
Yep,
that's the one that immediately came to my mind.
That's a sick banger. That is a sick banger.
Other than that, I can't think of what, and I don't have his thing up right now. I could pull it up real quick, but like what he produced.
I mean, Reunited. He could have played Reunited.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Would have been, you know, if again, it's all about the matchup, right? Because
there were
a few Primo joints that obviously he didn't pull out either, but I think if RZA really came with his top 20, this might have been a draw. This might have been like 10-10 or, you know, 6-6 and 6-6 and 8
right.
or something like that. So he let this go. He let it go. That's the unfortunate part of it. As far as like Primo, and they went on for a little bit afterwards and played some of the other songs and they eventually got to it.
And then
if you look at the OT, I think RZA won OT without a doubt because he had things that shouldn't have been in there.
Like, he had stuff that he should have played in the actual battle.
Yeah, they should have had an actual battle. A lot of Primo stuff. And if you look at his... Say it again?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah, if you look at Primo's... that man just works with anybody. Not anybody, but he just has tons and tons of records with Big Shug and, you know, Group Home, and it's like the beats are great, and even a lot of the MOP beats, you know, it just doesn't really match. But that's Primo. Primo's like, I'll work with it. If there's an artist I love, I'm working with them. And I'm like, all right, I'm not mad at that.
Yep.
But it also means your catalog looks crazy. When you look at RZA's catalog, it's like, woo, 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 one thing, woo. You know, it's like, I'm in my lane. Eventually that ended up drying out when he stopped producing a lot of their solo stuff, but it's consistent. And so, you know, again, the difference between these two, where Primo worked with Gangstar, but with everyone else, and RZA worked with almost nobody else that wasn't in the Wu.
Right.
And so very different kind of careers, but incredible, man.
Yeah. So, after this one wrapped up, my wife asked me, like, okay, so who would be as big as these two that would be, like, next? that you would want to see? Because Timberland and Swiss already did one, which I think those guys are very similar, and that was a good matchup.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what about Dr. Dre? And I was
Dre's there, but who is?
And that was my question.
Even got a chance.
Yeah. So I was like, so who would be? And so she said Kanye, and I was like, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye could put together a 20 track run.
This is true.
That I think could push Dre.
That's the key. The key is keeping it to 20 means, you know, it's not like, all right, Dre's had a 30-year career and Kanye's had a 15-year career, you know, so it's just not going to work the same. 20, Kanye could put together 20 tracks that might be as good as Dre. I would love to do, I mean, it'll never happen.
Because they're both
a maniac.
Yeah.
Kanye would play like, listen to this gospel track I just made. Like, no, Kanye, this is old things already released. Like, nah.
Right, we want the old Kanye.
He likes the old Kanye, not this new dude. And Dre, I don't think, this is the thing I loved about this time is that cats who literally were like, I'm too busy, are like, you're literally not busy. You have nothing.
Exactly. You ain't
can't
got
be
nothing
busy.
To do, man.
You could do this.
You can't
this
go
is
nowhere.
The only reason it
you
works.
At the crib.
You ain't touring. No one's coming over to the studio. Like, you could do this. Dre Kanye, man, you need to put that out there if that's not out there already.
I haven't seen it anywhere, but that's the one that I was like, well, maybe Dre and Puff. And then she was like, Kanye. And I was like, yeah, that could work. Like, that would be hot. Like, that would be tough. 20 tracks
each? The thing with Dre and Puffy is there's going to be a lot in the comments about, like, yeah, he's on this song.
He didn't produce that.
But he didn't really. Dude, this was D. Angeletti, or this was, you know, Corrupt really actually did. You know, there's like a whole lot of that with them too.
Yeah, Daz did that beat.
So that's why. Dre probably has enough because he did so much before he got big.
Right.
That was just on him, and he's got the whole West.
And then he started putting his name on other people's beats.
So I'm trying to think who else from anybody from the South. I mean, we already had the Manny Fresh and Lil Jon joint, which was way more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's really when I picked this thing up. I didn't know about it until Manny Fresh and Lil Jon. Then I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh.
Yep.
I
missed the Timberland Swiss Beats one. I missed that one altogether. I was still trying to pick up the pieces of my world at that point. I didn't know what was up. What was that?
But y'all got time to just have your phone on for 2 hours? Like, what is happening?
Right. Right.
But yeah,
Instagram
IG,
Live.
IG,
what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So the Teddy Riley babyface fiasco. Let's take a couple minutes to do that before we wrap up, man. So
it's funny because when we had this thing scheduled, I was like, we got to strike while the iron's hot because there'll be another one this weekend. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, it's R&B. It should be fine. We'll still be all right. And then when it happened, I was like, well, now we have new fodder to talk about. What's going on with your man Teddy, man?
Man, I don't even know, man. I jumped in there. And again, it just like it baffled me. Like, dude, you both are world class sound engine. Like, you guys manipulate sound in ways that people can't even fathom, and y'all can't figure out how to coordinate some Instagram. Like, you guys between you have like 70 years in the music industry, and y'all can't figure out how to work no daggone Instagram. So it was just wild, man. I jumped in, right? Because, you know, everybody's hyping it up and talking about outfits and this, that, and the other. And, you know, everybody's making a big deal about it. So I jump in. And first, Teddy Riley's in there, and he's got like a whole little like setup going. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
all right, Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got like talk box, like he's told Roger Troutman talk box, and he got a whole little keyboard microphone thing going on for his voice. I'm like, you ain't gonna be doing all that though. Like, I don't know what you think
like,
this
aren't
is.
You playing old songs? I was like, maybe I missed
right.
what Versus is about. I thought you played old songs.
So then it took Babyface like 5 minutes just to get in.
like
we just
sitting
there watching.
But you gotta,
yeah,
you gotta push.
We just
sitting
looking
push
at Teddy,
and then yes, yeah,
yes, and then he finally gets in there. So we just looking at Teddy Riley doing his thing, just trying to figure out, you know, whatever. And then it starts, and Teddy's got an echo going, but then he starts stunting, and it's like, yo, wait. You think this is a concert? Like,
and the answer
not
is
that,
yes.
brother.
The answer
and,
is yes.
For him, yes. And obviously, I dipped out after the first song, and Teddy got the he played the show and he got the echo going. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna let him figure out the sound, and I'm gonna come back in. So
yep.
I gave it a couple minutes. I'm like, okay, they're gonna figure out the sound piece. People in the comments are telling me, yo, you got echo, you got echo, you got echo. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give them a couple minutes to figure it out. And then I'm going to pop back in. So I dip, come back in, and bro is got the backup dancers going, and he's still got, and I'm like, you got all these extra people. Don't none of them know how to stop the echo? Like,
not a single one of them is an engineer.
Work. Seriously, I was like, if you yourself can't figure this out, you got to have somebody in there that can.
That's
so
what
it was
mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. And so then I listened to like two songs and was like, okay, they got to get this figured out. And he just was not figuring it out, and he was doing a whole lot. And so I was like, I'm out, man. I'm just out. So I wasn't, because
yeah.
obviously when you're doing an Instagram Live, you can only be on Instagram Live and listen. And so I wasn't even following the whole Twitter chain that I got hip to the day after.
Oh,
just
you didn't
roasting.
See just the draggings. Yeah, that's
I
what I did. I was like, I'm just gonna be on Twitter, and they'll let me know when things are back. And it just got worse and worse, and they were like, yo, it's
yes.
a wrap. And I was like, oh, no.
Yes.
He's like, there was 500,000 people on there. I was like, oh, no. And the memes were just... This brought me such a delight. But I probably watched like you for about 90 seconds. And I was like, life's
yeah.
too short. It's coronavirus. I got to enjoy
yeah.
life. I'm not fitting to be on my phone listening to Echo. That ain't happening.
No.
So,
yeah, no. I'm not listening to the reggaeton remix of Tevin Campbell's Can You Talk. I'm not finna hear that. That's what it sounded like.
So,
all types of extra
best...
drum beats. And I'm like, man, I'm not...
The
y'all
go-go
grown,
version.
Y'all professional. Right.
Experimentation.
Go-go version
you watch.
Of my prerogative.
I can't wait until like 5 years from now when like there's a branded video messaging network that's built on Versus. Like I'd be
yeah.
shocked if like there's not six VC meetings in the next 2 weeks. I'm like, who needs money? Who can set this thing up? And it's going to be like Swiss and Timbaland, like, yeah, well, this will be all we do is just have people battle each other on and music. And it'll be the most random, awful battles, but it'll just be
yeah.
24 hours and watch it nonstop.
Yep. And it'll straight up be a way. And it's actually a very brilliant idea for DJs and producers in particular who have kind of got pushed in the background
yeah.
as far as like, the machine of hip hop has gone to like reestablish themselves and kind of put themselves back at the forefront, because back in the day, man, who produced the track was just as important as who was rapping.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it, reading the liner notes to see who made the track was a thing. And as things have gone digital, like the beat is the beat. And again, without the drops at the beginning, that's why producers have to have drops now.
They have
at
to have
beginning,
the drops. Yeah.
Otherwise
you never
no one
know.
Knows you're there. Otherwise no one knows you're there. So it is interesting, and it's a very intriguing way to kind of bring that element of hip hop music back to the forefront of like the beat maker being somebody again, and not just like again somebody who you hear the drop and you know, okay, London did this track. We got London on the track.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But like actually people that like I can point him out in a crowd, you know, because I you know what I mean, or just like understanding their sound or whatever. It could be a vehicle for that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves and develops as things go. I've heard a lot of people saying rappers should do it and just go song for song.
A lot of
but
ego.
I don't think anybody has. Yeah, we ain't got there yet.
A lot of ego.
We ain't got there yet. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Title. That'll be Title's next thing. I just thought of Title.
Yes.
That'll be Title's next offering.
Yes.
You heard it here, y'all.
Yes. Yes.
When it gets announced in a month, I don't want to hear like, oh, who would have thought? I knew it. I saw it. I was like, oh.
You knew it. You saw it coming down. You saw it coming down the pike.
He'll be the first. He'll be the first artist to do it. He's like, oh, I'm gonna battle Eminem on our new platform with Title.
I download that.
And
I got
exactly. And I'm like,
mark.
I got $20. Damn it. Here's my $20. I'm dropping it as soon as this is over. As soon as this is over,
yep.
I'm canceling my subscription. But here you go.
Yep, because I would sign up for that. I would definitely sign up for that. I would definitely sign up for that. Yeah, it's a novel idea. It's a very, I keep telling people, the business world is going to be very different because of this whole situation. Things that we used to do, we're not going to be able to do as far as like gathering in public places for a little while. And so it's going to force some evolution, and it'll be interesting to see how the market changes, man, because it's going to have to evolve and change a little bit. So
I'm going to give a little word of advice to all the folks listening. Go out and get your iRig phone audio certification. If you have figured out how to master, I don't even know what that is. I literally don't know what it is, but so many people have been talking about it for the last week. I was like, obviously this is how you get the DJ equipment to feed into a phone or something. I don't know. But
hey,
if millionaire artists can't figure this out, there must be
right.
some work in there for you. So
yeah, there's some work in there because man, they kept telling. I think it was DJ Babu or somebody was in the comments of the RZA Primo battle. Like, don't use the iRig. Don't. And Primo could be like, they said don't use your iRig. I don't know what that means, but that's what they said.
That's what they said. Why don't you just play music out your speaker and then we can just hear it? I was like, wow,
yeah.
What? That's not what he's doing? I was like, what is he doing?
Right. Oh, man. I actually need to, I mean, they need to figure out whatever DJ D Nice is doing. And just whatever he's got going on, do that. Just
exactly
do that.
I was going to say.
It's working.
I think, and I don't want to be that guy, but I think I'm over the D Nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was like, first few times I was like, man, this is incredible. We're all coming together.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
That time.
And
he's
now,
going like, my kids are like, he's still DJing. You know, my kids are obnoxious middle school. They're like, he's still DJing. Can he sit down?
I was like, it's every night now. I was like, I made the mistake of following him, and now I'm like, yo, this dude is live every night. Now, I'm not mad, but
night.
I'm like, well, how are you still? How is this still a thing? And there's still 200,000 people in there. God,
yep.
Figuring out
I mean,
right now.
He can get on a Wednesday night. He's got 50,000 people in there, and he's shouting out everybody. I got Halle Berry in here.
Because again, what else Halle Berry got to do, fam? This is why this
right.
is such an amazing time. It's like, yeah, Halle Berry's in her house, just like you in your house. Tired
yeah.
of looking at Netflix, and it's like, oh, let me see what's on Instagram. I got
yep.
she's doing that while
yep.
she's watching Netflix. We all in this together.
Yeah.
That's what I
we are. Everybody's doing the same thing. Like, there are times where people ask me, like, hey, you want to do a Zoom? And sometimes I want to be like, no, because I'm just kind of introverted in that way. But I just
mm-hmm.
like, I just don't want to talk to anybody right now. But I ain't got no excuses. What I'm gonna tell them?
I'm busy.
I can't even
are
be
you?
Like, I got a family thing. Like, I can't even be like, I got a thing to go to. I can't say anything, man. I can't.
Just like, telling you, you're doing farmer's hours now. You're going to bed at 8:30. Like, 8:30, I'm in bed, 8:30.
Yeah.
I'm waking
then,
up
I'm getting
at
up
4
at
5. Yeah, yeah, you know, doing push-ups, sit-ups, get my mind right, meditation, doing all that. No, that's true. You run out of excuses. Now I just don't answer the phone. When people send texts,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I missed it. It's too much.
Yeah. Uh-oh. The Packers just drafted a quarterback, and he's black. Oh, hell. Wow.
Which quarterback is this?
Jordan Love from Utah State. The Packers just drafted him in the first round. That's going, what?
Wow.
And he's black. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, we're
going
to see how this plays
never
out.
Play. Yeah, oh, I could tell
man.
You. Well,
man.
Let's get our prayer circles together now for that young man.
Hey.
Because it is going to be a
if
rough
going. If he
start
playing, I might start watching football again just to support the black. Hey, I'm always about supporting black quarterbacks, man.
If he plays, we will know terrible, terrible things have happened. I can't even imagine what it
yeah.
would take.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
that's good. That's good. I forgot the draft is on. Don't even tell me.
Man, they didn't pick up Aaron Rodgers' replacement, and he's black. I can't wait to see how this goes.
You know Aaron called him immediately like, hey, man, so glad that you're part of the team. When this is over, we should get together, and I want to walk you through everything, teach you everything I know. I'm sure that's
not. Nah, Aaron going to give him that Favre treatment, where Favre was like, I ain't helping you. You can
like,
watch.
Who are you? Take
you can,
my bag.
You can watch me do it.
You can watch me,
but I'm not going to tell you nothing. See, that's what Favre told
Rodgers
when he got here. Yeah.
Rodgers for sure going to do that. 100%.
Yes.
I was like, there's no
yes.
way he's helping this dude out.
Yeah, nah, he's like, you can watch me, but, man, listen, I don't even blame him, man, because what is Aaron Rodgers, like 35?
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah,
yeah see, when you 35, I'm 39 right now. If I was in a profession where age meant that much, ain't no way I'm finna help no 23-year-old take my job. You already got the athletic advantage. I'm hanging on to all the athleticism I got. I'm down to my last string of athleticism. I'm not finna help you.
All I got is my mind. You want me to give the only advantage I have over you? Just give it away?
Yeah, nah, bro. I was going at night, not last night.
breaking news. Black quarterback.
Breaking news.
That's
man, boy, that's crazy. I remember when they ran Red Rhodes up out of here. I was like, y'all getting 1 year, huh? He went 8-8. Y'all getting 1 year.
All
right.
That's all you get.
This is what we doing.
You got that. And he's probably like, well,
right?
At least I got that. At least I
right.
got that.
It's on my resume.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a losing season.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Well, all right, brother.
All right, then, man.
I'm going to go check on my kids. They've come in 3 times. Apparently, my daughter does not want to go to bed. It's 10:30, and she's still awake.
It'd be like
you
that,
know.
Man.
Yeah.
Pandemic,
it's
man. It's got us all a little crazy.
Exactly.
All right, my man. Peace.
Yeah. Peace.